Well, good morning. How's everyone doing? Doing well? Who's ready for some fall weather? My word. It is, what is this, 90 degree weather still, right? We went to Kroger, saw the pumpkins. Does not feel like September 22nd today. And I could not bring myself yesterday to purchase those very nice, wonderful looking pumpkins because I was sweating. Right? And I just can't get there. I'm not mentally there yet. It does not feel like fall. It's so good to see you all this morning. So glad our kids are with us. Want to release them now, invite them to go participate in our Revolution Kids that happens upstairs. If they would like to participate, they're welcome to stay here as well. But K through fifth grade, this is a time of learning and worshiping and playing together. So you all are welcome to check that out. All right, so have you ever had what you'd call an aha moment? Like one of those moments where you're just like, oh, light bulb, that's what that means. And when you have that epiphany or of that realization, you see something differently. You finally understand and it impacts the way you see the world or see a certain problem or whatever. We've all had those moments. So I remember sitting in biology class in high school. It's funny, when I was trying to think of a moment, I was like, I know this has happened to me, but like, what, have I learned anything? I couldn't recall until I thought back to my favorite class in high school, and that was biology. Now, I was very studious. I enjoyed learning. I still do. So you might think this illustration is going to reveal maybe what the first service called me a nerdier side of me. And that's okay, because I wear that title proudly. Because I love to learn. So go with me, okay? Sitting in biology class every single day, I felt like I was having an aha moment. I felt like I was learning something, understanding something about the intricacies of life, and I found it amazing. And it made me want to learn more. Right? Especially the day that we learned the process of photosynthesis. I was amazed. Now, I'd kind of learned in general what happens, but in that AP biology class, we had to like learn the whole chemical process of how, you know, plants and trees take in this CO2 and water, and with sun energy, you know, they convert it to the energy they need and release this oxygen, which I rely on every single day, all other life forms. It's amazing. See, a little nerdy, right? I found it amazing. And because of that, I've always loved nature. And as a kid, you could usually find me out in my backyard with my trusty Labrador, usually up in a tree. And so when I learned that about the process of photosynthesis, about these trees that I loved, I found it amazing. And it allowed me to see my crabapple tree, which was perfect for climbing in my backyard, differently. It allowed me to understand. Knowledge is power. Oop, there's the tree. It's not a crabapple tree, but it's a pretty tree. Knowledge is power. And when we learn something new, we often experience this sort of transformation and understanding that causes us to see something differently. You know, we often consider schooling to happen just in the early stages of life. You go to school, you graduate, sometimes you pursue a higher degree. You get all the training, and I know from talking with many of you and what you've studied and learned and prepared for over the years, we've studied and learned a lot. We've studied and learned a lot, right? We often think that that is just for those early stages, and once we graduate, we can finally begin the real part of our life, the adult part, the actual part. You know, but learning is really a lifelong process. A process of growing in awareness and maturity. It's a process of growing in that understanding that should impact how we see the world. So in this series, we've been called Second Nature. We've been talking about for the last couple of weeks different habits that we can develop in our lives to experience more of the transformative power and presence and grace of Jesus Christ. We've been talking about different rhythms, different habits, reclaiming some maybe bad habits, being aware of those, reclaiming some time so we can form good habits that might make room in our lives, space in our lives for God to show up, for God's grace to be so real and very present. And so this morning, we're going to continue looking at a different habit, and that is the habit of study. Now, before you fall asleep on me, you're like, oh, great, study. Cue the snoring, right? I'm hoping that as we take a look at this, we might think about some different neat ways that we can open up, especially God's word, have it be a part of our daily life and rhythm, and maybe even renew our mind and how we think about approaching God's word. So we're going to take a look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, and I'm going to invite you to read that with me now. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Now, we took a look at this scripture a few weeks ago. So before you think I forgot, you're like, oh, we already talked about this one. Because we focused on not conforming to the pattern of the world and making sure our daily habits and rhythms were allowing us to live in such a way that we were following after Christ and not conforming. Do you remember that? I want to take a look today at what it means to be renewed by your mind. So transformed by the renewing of your mind there in the second verse. So let's revisit this whole passage. We're going to scale back a little bit and see where it starts. It starts with offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. Offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament times, we know that the Israelites were required to offer various sacrifices as a part of their purification ritual for the atonement of their sins. To restore the relationship between God and the Israelites, they had to go to the temple, meet with a priest, right? The priest was involved in that process and offer different sacrifices, whether it was burnt offering or a grain offering, peace offering, sin offering, all kinds of different things that were required for whatever atonement you were looking for, right? But now, in light of the sacrificial acts of Christ, the sacrificial acts of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who is the ultimate sacrifice, who ends all sacrifices in that way, the great high priest who tears that veil, and now we have direct access, right? We don't have to go through that atonement process anymore, as it was. Because of Jesus Christ, who forgives us from all of our sins, we are no longer required to offer those different offerings, right? Animals, grain, whatever. No, but God does still require something of us, right? In fact, we have to offer our very selves, right? As a living sacrifice. This passage starts with therefore, which means that this is a response to something that's come before it, right? You start this passage this morning, it's therefore, the great therefore that is in response to the wonderful acts and mercy of Jesus Christ, the goodness of God that Paul, the author of this letter to Romans, has just gone through chapters 1 through 11 in the book of Romans. And there's a lot of stuff in there. This huge theological treatise and nitty-gritty stuff about how this process works, about the goodness and mercy and sacrifice and salvation of Jesus Christ. And after all that, we come to chapter 12, the summary, the application. And Paul says, therefore, because of all that God has done for us, we must offer ourselves. We respond to God's great love by offering ourselves. Also in the Old Testament, especially burnt offerings, you would see it written that the smell was pleasing to God, right? That offering was pleasing to God in that moment of people seeking after God in that atonement. Now we understand that offering ourselves is our only true and good worship, that act of itself, relying on God in all things, is pleasing to God. Because we're giving our very lives, our hopes, our dreams, our wills for the furtherance of God's kingdom here. And in so doing that, we find life and life abundantly that we could have never imagined on our own. The traditional liturgy that we sometimes use in communion says it this way: in response to these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice as we proclaim the mystery of the faith. And that mystery is Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Right? Christ will come again. So in response to all that God has done for us, we offer all that we have. Our gifts, our service, our witness, our lives, our time. Giving our time to be a part of the mission and work of God here, the furtherance of God's kingdom. All right, that's the first part. Let's go back to that scripture. First, it's offering ourselves as a living sacrifice, which then leads to the renewal of our mind. The transformation by the renewing of our mind. The renewing of our mind. This is the key, because without Christ, we have a natural bent to sinning. We have a natural tendency to think about ourselves first, what only affects me and the things I care about. Remember back to our posture prayer last week. Our natural posture is to control, is to try and make it happen. Our natural posture is indifference. Remember, it's not my problem. It's not my problem. We have this natural bent to sinning and self-centered thinking that, if left unchecked, grows into a way of living that is dark and dangerous and develops into more evil ideologies, more evil ways of thinking that lead to hatred and violence and death, people thinking they're better than other people. This knowledge is power. But knowledge is power even when it's incorrect or bad or harmful knowledge as well. Because it conforms our hearts and minds after the pattern of the world instead of after Jesus Christ. So it is very important that we are mindful of, that we think about our sources of knowledge and focus on, as Christians, this renewing of our mind. This renewing of our mind to think differently, to think like God thinks and loves the world. Because Christ calls us to fix our gaze upward and outward based on the truth and mercies of God. God, remember posture again. God calls us to postures of surrender, our gaze upward, to postures of generosity and mission, postures outward, fixing our gaze outward. Jesus calls us to lives of peace and justice and mercy, not hatred and violence and death. We desperately need these renewed minds so that we can learn how to love God and love others. We need the renewing of our minds so that we can see the world for what it is and yet also see the inbreaking of the kingdom of God, which is happening all around us. Only when we receive the transformation of these renewed minds can we truly see the kingdom of God and participate in that reality, because scripture says we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, not citizens of this earth. Our allegiance lies in the kingdom of heaven, the lordship of Jesus Christ, not into the allegiance of even different nation states, right? Or different groups or different ways of thinking. Our lives are ordered there by that truth and by that justice. Only when we receive the renewal of the mind, our minds, only when we seek that through the learning process, can we truly know what it means to love God and to love our neighbor and to live as citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what scripture says is the next piece. We have that renewal of mind, and then we can discern what God's will is, what God's perfect and true and good will is, the plan of God, which is the redemption of the earth, salvation for all, right? That's the plan of God. And only when we experience that can we then understand how we might join in of that redemptive work in the world. This is a process, right? And from my experience, right, it continues to feed back into itself. We offer ourselves, our minds are transformed, we know what God asks and requires of us, and that is to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. And it continues. And that's what leads to our transformation. It continues this cycle. So how do we have this renewal of mind? How do we, again, we can't earn any of God's goodness or righteousness. These are gifts of grace. But this is part of our learning process, this renewal of mind, and it takes study. It takes studying God and God's great love for the world. And we are in luck because we have a wonderful resource, a wonderful tool, a wonderful living and breathing word of God that is available to all of us, and that is the studying of the Holy Scripture, studying the Holy Scripture. There's a well-known Bible study teacher, Jen Wilkin, who says, the heart cannot love what the mind does not know. So if I want to love God more, I got to know God more. I got to know. That's like the most natural way that we fall in love and get to know people, right? Or get to know people and then fall in love. Unless you have one of those wonderful stories where it was just love at first sight and you knew, that is not the story for Matt and I. We knew each other for a long time before we got to the love part. No, but that's how you get to know people, right? That's how you develop that relationship of love, whether it's friendship or romantic or partnership or whatever. The heart cannot love what the mind does not know. And Scripture is a story of that great love. It's a story about God, written not about us, but for us, reflecting God's love, God's story of redemption, and God's great love for the world and for the earth. Throughout the whole scope and story of Scripture, we learn how God, out of love, God created. Out of love, God was faithful. Out of love, God sent Jesus Christ for the salvation of all. Out of love, God is still showing up and working and moving through the church for the redemption of the world. The heart cannot love what the mind does not know. You might have heard the greatest commandment being, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. I always read that scripture as kind of similar to Romans 12. We just offer our whole selves. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. But it never occurred to me until later, like if you ever stop to really think about what it looks like to love God with your mind, with your intellect, to love God by how you think and what you study. As a nerd who loved to study and read, I can still picture my favorite spot in Willie T. Library at UK, the perfect quiet study where I would spend hours, right? I never thought about honoring and loving God with my mind in that way, by what I study. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 through 17 says this, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. We study so we can learn, so we can experience that renewal and redemption. We experience conviction, transformation, so then we can be equipped. I love that word. So we may be equipped to participate in the work of God, every good work in this world. Or maybe you've heard Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. This is again Paul talking to the church in Philippi, a different letter now, but saying, remember what we learned. Remember what you learned from me and we received together from God when we were starting this whole thing. Keep doing that. Keep thinking about those things, and the peace of God will be with you. Whatever is true, honorable, just, pure. Think about these things. I must admit, a little confession moment here. My thoughts are not always holy and good and pleasing to God. The things I think in anger or frustration, the things I think in comparison or competition, the things I think in moments of fear, not always honorable. I study a lot of things too, but they might not all be commendable. We've heard it said, we are what we consume. We are what we consume. And I think this also applies to the things we consume by what we look at, by what we read, by what we listen to, by what we hear. We are what we consume. If we are products of that, then what we spend time studying matters. Because the truth is, we are all studying something. We are all spending our time reading and listening and looking at all kinds of sources of knowledge. The question is, are they just? Are they pure? Are they commendable? Are they focusing our attention in a good and pleasing way to God so that our minds might be renewed for the transformation of this earth? A quick inventory of my week. I've been practicing this along with us, right? A quick inventory of my week reveals that, yes, I'm reading scripture and I'm reading a few faith-based books. I'd prefer to be reading more. I have a long list. But I'm also consuming a lot of other things. I am studying a lot of news. I'm studying a lot of Stranger Things season 3, right? I'm studying a lot of Taylor Swift's new album. In fact, in a matter of weeks, I had already memorized the words to every single one of her songs on that new album. And that was my moment of conviction, where I thought, wow, I have been studying this more than I thought. So we got it at the same time. Matt and I have both been listening to it on repeat in our cars. And we were driving somewhere last weekend, and I knew every word to almost every song. And he was looking at me going, what in the world? When did you do that? How did you learn this so quickly? Moment of conviction. And I thought, you know, I've had it on repeat in my car. I've had it on repeat. And, you know, everything in Louisville is about 20 minutes away from everything. So whether you're 2 miles away or going downtown, it's all about 20 minutes, right? I'm remembering these things. And so every time I'm in the car, these little 15 to 20 minute chunks, that's what I'm listening to. That's what I'm studying. Now, these aren't all bad things. I'm not standing up here and suggesting to you this morning that we ought to be listening to only Christian music and only Christian speakers, watching only Christian shows. No. As Amy mentioned a few weeks ago, it's okay to enjoy some of these other cultural things of ways that part of our personality, right? Part of our self-expression that we celebrate because we are each unique and beautiful creations of God. But the important self-check is asking, am I allowing these other things to define and conform my way of thinking and define who I am? Am I drawing my identity here by being a Swiftie? Or, that's a thing, right? I'm probably not, actually. Like, there are probably other bigger fans. But am I drawing my identity and purpose there? Or am I consuming the word and truth of Jesus Christ and grounding my foundation of who I am and my identity there? Again, I'm not suggesting that you only must listen to all of these other sources, but be mindful of what your sources of knowledge are and ask yourself, what are you studying? What are you studying? You know, I'm a big proponent, or maybe I've really been intrigued by this in-between time, my car time, right? 15 to 20 minutes where you're hustling about, you're going from one thing to the next, right? And I've thought, how can I reclaim some of that in-between time? And so like we did last week with prayer, I want to switch gears right now, and I want to consider some habits, especially some in-between habits, reclaiming, starting small, of how we might incorporate the Word of God into our lives, into our daily rhythms, and then into our hearts over time that will allow us to experience that renewal of the mind. So we're going to kind of switch gears here, and I'm going to suggest a couple different habits that we might be able to take on, choosing one or two, right? Choosing one. Just like last week, I introduced some different ways, creative ways that we could pray, and I hope that you might have grabbed onto one of those and said, that really speaks to me right now in this stage of life. And I hope you've been practicing it. And maybe you forgot one day and you picked it up again the next day. Or maybe you're sitting here going, oh yeah, she did say that. Maybe I should revisit that. I have learned that in our teaching notes app, on our teaching notes section on the app, for our church, I have some teaching notes in there, and you can go back to previous weeks. And so go back and look some of those resources from last week. I've also listed some of these for this week as well, for the habit of study. All right, but let's look at a few of these just briefly. Of course, talking about the habit of study, we would start with reading scripture. Duh. You're like, duh. But I want to think about this in maybe a more creative way, because there are lots of different ways that we can have devotion time that does not require hours on end of multiple books and lots of study. There's a time and place for that. But we start with where you are, right? And maybe you need to start small right now, and that's okay. Sometimes that's exactly what I need. That's exactly what I need. So reading scripture, maybe that becomes a morning habit for you. Maybe that becomes a morning habit that before you do anything else, you're reading a word of scripture. A passage a day, a chapter a day of a certain book of the Bible. Do you know there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs? Maybe if you're sitting here going, I don't know where to start, the book of wisdom is a great place. Today is September 22nd, and so maybe you can start with Proverbs chapter 22. And after a month, you will have read the whole book, well, 31 days, you will have read the whole book of Proverbs. Even if there's not 30 or 31 chapters, you can do that with other books of the Bible as well. Start with the Gospel of Matthew tomorrow. And after you get through all of that wonderful genealogy, then you start with Matthew chapter 2. Maybe you do that in one day, you know, you're like, okay. But you start where you are. I have found that the really good habit for me is reading scripture in the morning before I read anything else. After I get everybody fed and dressed and out of the house. And what I mean by that is before I read the news, before I scroll social media, before I check my email, I'm going to read scripture first. Why? Because those become such big time sucks, and I realize when I do one or any of those things, it's a tremendous amount of time that I've just wasted that I could have been in the word, right? But also when I check my email first, I'm asking, what do other people need of me today? When I check social media first, I'm thinking, what do other people think of me today? And when I check the news first, I think, what's happening today, you know? I get overwhelmed, I get anxious, I don't ground myself first in the purpose and truth and word of God. I don't ground myself first in reminding myself, but who does God say that I am? So maybe your habit of reading scripture can start in the morning before you do anything else, after you eat breakfast, because I'm got to eat breakfast. Maybe it's a chapter a day. Maybe it's incorporating it into the bedtime routine with your kids. Hopefully prayer is already a part of that. You know, I mentioned that in the morning as well. That was a habit from last week, morning prayer. These could incorporate together beautifully, right? Or maybe it's memorizing scripture. Maybe you're going to take one individual scripture that has meant something powerful to you or something that you want to remind yourself of, and you have a practice of memorizing it over the next week and really piecing that apart, right? Deuteronomy calls that hiding the word on our hearts. We hide the word in our hearts, so that in a moment of need, we might be able to recall. Do you remember in the Gospel of Matthew when Jesus is being tempted in the desert and the devil is tempting him and he has scripture memorized, and so he knows exactly what to say in response in that time of trial? So maybe if we have that scripture hidden in our hearts, we can know what to say in our hearts and our minds to encourage us, to hold on to in our own time of need. In our own time of need. So the next one, meditate with scripture. Has anyone ever tried the practice of Lectio Divina? Have you heard that? Yeah? It's a wonderful, beautiful thing that you can Google it later today and find a whole bunch of resources with different prompts. But it's a more experiential way of reading scripture and meditating with scripture. You focus on one passage and you read it multiple times, asking yourself each time, what stuck out to me? What did I hear? What did I notice? It's amazing. Scripture is living and breathing and active. And each time we go back to it, even if we have it memorized, there might be a new truth or a new way that we understand it that we never noticed before. Lectio Divina can help with that. And there's different prompts and a great process if you're interested. The whole thing may take about 30 minutes. Another practice with meditating the scripture that I talked about last week was praying the Psalms. If you don't know what to pray, there's a prayer in the Psalms for every single stage of life, every single emotion that you might be feeling. And holding on to those words might be a great way for you to meditate with scripture today. All right, then actually full-blown Bible study. You know, piecing apart, what's the context? What's going on? What is happening? What does this mean? And how could it apply to my life? This is really important. And through some of these other habits, we might build to this in our lives. Whether we have this in our house groups, or whether we offer a special study here, or whether you do this on your own, I will say that I think this type of Bible study is best when done in a group. It's best in a group, because we know from the history of biblical interpretation, scripture has been misused, misinterpreted, manipulated for our own purposes. A lot of harmful, horrible ideologies still exist today by the misuse of the Holy Scriptures. And so Bible study with people is a good way to keep ourselves in check. Let me go back to all of this and say, praying before we study scriptures and asking for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide our thoughts in study is a great place to start, so that we make sure we together are living into the truth of what we are meant to study. Podcasts for me have been a great way that I've reclaimed some of that car time. Podcasts from other preachers, from other well-known teachers, from other just, again, maybe one trip a day I'm listening to a podcast instead of T-Swift. Still other trips I'm listening to T-Swift, right? But reclaiming some of that in-between time, podcasts have been a great thing. If you all don't know about Right Now Media and the resource that it can be for our church, please talk to me afterward or send Matt Bauer an email. That might be more successful for you. This is a great resource that is available to all of us right now. Each and every single one of us can have an individual account. We have a Revolution Church group. We can post things in there as well. This is a ton of well-known Christian speakers and preachers and Bible study teachers, thousands of videos. There are weeks and weeks long Bible studies that you can be led through each day. If you don't know where to start and are looking for some resources, check out Right Now Media, topical studies, books of the Bible. There's some great resources for kids and teens as well. So if you'd like to study with your kids, you can watch a video and talk about it right at the end of the day. I really encourage you to check out Right Now Media. And then finally, you might think this last one sounds a bit odd, but to marvel at creation. You know, we can study God by studying the written word, but we can also study God by studying God's creation. And for me, up in the trees, marveling at photosynthesis, that's a way that I have studied God and God's goodness and creative spirit. And I thought, wow, who am I that among all of this, you think of me, and you love me, and you've called me. And so next week, we're going to talk about another habit, and that's another kind of learning more about God by action and by experience. And so I hope you're already seeing how a lot of these habits sort of coincide. Marveling at creation leads to solitude and silence, which leads us to prayer. Prayer can lead us into the scriptures. Our studying of the scriptures can lead us into prayers of thanksgiving. They can lead us to questions. They can lead us to hungering and thirsting after the word of God. They can lead us to digging more into what this means for me, which then we hope and pray leads us to a renewed mind where we know what the will of God is for us. What does God require of us? But to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, which leads us to love our neighbor as ourselves. These habits all go together. They can kind of, it's not a formula. But as we pick up individual ones. As we practice, we hope these become part of our rhythms like second nature. So we are so overwhelmed and aware of God's presence that all we can do is keep loving God and keep loving others. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we give you thanks for who you are. We give you thanks that you long to spend time with us, that we can experience your grace and goodness and mercy in so many different ways. We have these means of grace in which we can commune with you. So God, whether it's through praying, whether it's through studying, whether it's through listening to a new teacher, thinking about something that we've never thought of before, God, we ask that you would redeem our learning time this week, that you would truly renew our minds so that we can see the world for how it is, and we can see your kingdom in breaking all around us. Give us eyes to see, and then courage to go, and courage to truly live in that truth and in that presence of the kingdom of God. Would you inspire our reading and our studying and our consuming this week so that we might actually feast on you and feast on your word, feast on your truth, and find our foundation there. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for all of the ways that you reveal your goodness to us. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It is so good always to be in worship with you all. Great ways this week to get involved and be a part of the life and ministry here. I hope you take advantage of some of these opportunities, as well as pick a habit of study. One of those ways that you might be able to reclaim some time. Practice it this week. Forget about it on Tuesday. Pick it up again on Wednesday. Tell someone about it. Let's hold one another accountable. Practice it with your family, with your home group, something, so that we might be investing our hearts and our lives in the words, that we might experience the transformation by the renewal of our mind, so we might actually be able to see and discern the will of God and how we can be a part of that here on earth. So go in peace, have a wonderful week, and be the revolution.